In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The Lord's teaching today is pretty straightforward on one level. Those who desire the mercy of God will show mercy, will be merciful, will bestow on the needy and the underprivileged a spirit-inspired generosity. And as we've said many times in the past, this generosity is itself on more than one level. You know, there's the basic physical level. If a person is hungry, we offer food. If a person doesn't have adequate clothes or blankets, we provide them. If someone is a shut-in, we visit them. That's the most basic level. But there's also the emotional, the mental level here as well. You know, think of someone in an emotional or a mental health prison, like depression or anxiety or grief or loneliness or stress. And sometimes the person who seems to have it all together might be the one suffering the greatest. Our Savior is calling us equally to be there for those people as well. And of course, then again, there's the spiritual level, the highest level. A person might have a great hunger and thirst for God, for faith, for light, for direction, for inner peace, for the beauty of the kingdom. And they may have absolutely no idea where to turn. And just because someone is a churchgoer doesn't mean they don't hunger for God or doesn't mean they don't thirst for answers. And so we see that Jesus is calling us to not only give of our stuff, like actual food or clothes or blankets, but also our deeper self, time and presence and patience and encouragement and faith and hope and above all, love. At a minimum, it would be self-absorbed to ignore someone who is innocently suffering from illness or hunger or thirst or imprisonment on any of these levels. You know, it would be at minimum self-absorbed. At worst, it'd be cruel and inhumane to ignore them. And then Jesus, of course, doubles down on this truth when he says, "And whatever you fail to do to the least of these, my brother or sister, you fail to do for me," Jesus says. Now, one might say, okay, I understand helping the innocent. And after all, Jesus is the ultimate innocent man. And yes, it would be self-absorbed not to help them. But what about the people who are, how shall we say, less Christ-like? What about the person who is at fault for their own situation? An acquaintance of mine, this has to be at least 5 years ago now, maybe more, she was driving along one of those windy roads between Star Prairie and St. Croix Falls. Someone came up behind her super fast and was tailgating over hills and around curves. Finally, this person got so impatient, they passed her when it wasn't safe, nearly crashed head-on with an oncoming vehicle, almost clipped off her front bumper as they got back into the lane before rocketing off into the distance. A couple miles later, this acquaintance saw said vehicle out in a field on its roof. They had gone off the road and rolled. And this acquaintance of mine recalled that she was so very tempted to just drive on by. After all, you reap what you sow. But her better nature took over and she stopped. Turned out the guy was okay. Totaled his car, of course. Who knows what his insurance rates are going to do in the future. But it illustrates that many of us have this instinct where we might be readily willing to help the innocent, but we kind of want to see the guilty suffer for their sins. And it is to this instinct I'd like to draw our attention to a specific word that Jesus uses in today's gospel. To those blessed of the Father, Jesus says, "Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Inherit. Inherit is the word. Inherit is not a wage. Inherit is not a reward. Inherit is not a reimbursement for certain duties or for deeds done on the clock. Inherit is a term for the flow of an entire estate from parent to child just for being the child, just for being family. On the last day, those who are merciful inherit the entire estate of heaven simply for being sons and daughters of God. And what Jesus is saying, what he's revealing, is that sons and daughters of God will have some of the same outlook, some of the same spiritual DNA, as it were, as God himself, simply by being sons and daughters. In other words, children who inherit share qualities of the parent. And God shows limitless mercy to me even when it's my fault. Dare I say, especially when it's my fault. So how about me then? What am I to do if I want to be a child of God? It's basic humanity to show mercy to the innocent. It takes the DNA of God to show mercy to the guilty. A DNA children of God ought to demonstrate, because after all, children who inherit share qualities with the parent. St. Isaac the Syrian says, practice mercy even to those you don't feel merciful towards. Practice mercy even to those you don't feel merciful towards. Because by the act of showing mercy anyway, the breath of the Spirit will drive away that contrary feeling from your heart. In other words, by doing the action, even when you don't feel like it, you will slowly become filled with the Spirit of God. You want to hear another story about someone who shares a little DNA with God? This took place in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 2015. A young woman went to work at the credit union just like she did every day. She opened her window at start time, and it turned out to be one of those days. Systems kept failing, everyone seemed grouchy, people were rude, someone stole her lunch out of the refrigerator. By late afternoon, when this woman had had just about enough, a man approaches her window and terrorizes her with a loaded gun. His words were not only threatening, but cruel and disgusting. His finger twitching on the trigger. And she's shaking as she hands over the money that he demands and watches in a mix of shock, horror, and a little relief as he finally exits the building. What happens next proves this woman shares some DNA with God. The robber runs out of the credit union, starts across the street, where he is promptly struck by a speeding taxi and thrown onto the pavement. Most people's instincts are, that's karma. Not this woman. In a breach of all banking protocol, she runs out after him, putting 911 on her speakerphone, and begins administering first aid until the paramedics arrive. When asked why she did that, she said, God has shown me so much mercy when I'm at fault. Why wouldn't I do the same to one of God's children? And really, this is a change in perspective a son and daughter of God will hopefully develop. To grow from seeing those in need as either innocent or guilty, to grow to seeing them as brother or sister of Jesus Christ. The Lord's teaching today is pretty straightforward on one level. Those who desire the mercy of God will show mercy, will be merciful. But the deeper meaning is why we are showing mercy. On the one hand, it's because the person in need is a brother or sister of Jesus, and indeed, to you and to me, they are Jesus. But it's also because, as a child of God yourself, you share a bit of God's spiritual DNA, allowing you to inherit a kingdom prepared for you by your heavenly Father. And children who inherit share qualities with the parent. Amen. Amen.